on eagle's wings. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that day after day, you are carrying us on your wings. As we faced one problem after another, one tribulation after another, you make us rise on eagle's wings. You make us mount up in the air, detached from this earth, from the burden of this earth, from the troubles of this world. We soar through space with you because you are bearing us like a mother eagle. Oh, we thank you that you do this because the battle is too much for us. Disappointments, failures of friends and brethren, deception discourages us so much sometimes that we do not know how to go on. But you bear us on your wings and you give us courage. You give us strength and power to overcome these obstacles. We thank you that you teach us the most beautiful lessons in nature. Yes. Today, through the eagle, in Christ's beautiful, powerful name. Amen. On eagle's wings. Dear friends, I just returned from a brief vacation on Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. This is an island close to Newfoundland, in the east of Canada. We have been going there for 18 years with our children in the summer. It's a desolate land. It's a beautiful land. Our home is on a hill, a small mountain, covered with fir trees. These hills fall directly into the Atlantic Ocean, the cold waters of the Atlantic Ocean, filled with fish of every kind. But every morning as I get up in that log cabin and look up there, I see the eagles leave their nests high up in those hills and fly through the valley. It's a beautiful sight. And I've studied the life of an eagle briefly and derived some wonderful comfort from the Word of God, because God compares himself to an eagle, to the protective care of an eagle. So I want to talk to you this morning on eagle's wings. Turn with me to Proverbs 30, 18 and 19. There we read, there are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four things which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air. The way of a serpent upon a rock. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And the way of a man with a maid. Then turn with me to Exodus 19:4. There God says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Oh, dear friends, the eagle is a majestic bird. It's called the king of birds. Shakespeare called the eagle the bird of Jove. An allusion to the legend of those eagles belonging to the Roman god Jove or Jupiter, which were said to have thunderbolts in their talons because of the manner in which they took their prey. The average length of an eagle is about 3 feet from the tip of his beak to the tip of his tail. An eagle weighs 14 pounds and has a wingspan of anywhere from 7 to 9 feet. Eagles can dive at a speed of over 100 miles an hour, and then using their wings and their tail can break in 20 feet, coming to an absolute stop in the air. Eagles live somewhere between 50 and 100 years. From ancient times, eagles have been regarded as a symbol of courage, a symbol of power. Their strength and boldness have inspired the symbolic creations of artists, the beautiful metaphors of poets, and the lofty ideas of many philosophers. The eagle was the emblem of certain Roman legions, of France under the Bonapartes, of Germany, of the Russian and Austro-Hungarian empires. And by an act of the Second Continental Congress in 1782, the bald eagle became the official symbol of the United States of America. In Revelation 4:7, we read of the four living creatures which are always in the presence of God, always praising Him. And we read, "The first was like a lion, and one was like a flying eagle." Here we have the King of Birds, the King of Beasts, in service of the King of Kings. The wise man who wrote the book of Proverbs wrote, "There are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand. And one of these is the way of an eagle in the sky." So let's make a few observations about eagles. Number one, to be an eagle, you must be born an eagle. Crows and canaries cannot become eagles, as much as they might wish to. And I'm sure that many birds look at the eagle, and if they can think, they think of themselves, "Oh, I would like to be like the eagle. I would like to be able to fly like the eagle. I would like the strength of an eagle." But friends, no other bird can ever become an eagle. You must be born an eagle to be one. I know of a book entitled The Gift of an Eagle. It tells, among other things, of putting a goose egg under an eagle and a little gosling was hatched. And that mother eagle tried to make that little goose become an eagle. And oh, the frustration of those attempts. Because a goose can never become an eagle. You know, I find that there are many people in the world who wished that they would be different. They look at other people and say, "Oh, I wish I had that person's faith. I wish my life was like that person's life." And very often we wished that we could be different people. But you see, you cannot change yourself. You can never become by your own efforts a different or a better person. You need the new birth. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." For you see, in the new birth, God gives you a new nature. And those of us who have been crows in the past can become eagles with a new nature that God gives. In John 1:12, we read, "As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but they were born of God." You cannot soar like an eagle if you are just a crow. To be an eagle, you must be born an eagle. Secondly, an eagle must learn to fly. Now, eagles build their nests in the top of a tall, dead tree on high, or on a canyon wall, in the mouth of a cave. They build their nests out of sticks, some of them over 2 inches in diameter. In an eagle's nest can be found sticks, branches, roots, cobwebs, antlers of deer, rags, burlap bags, and an assortment of other things. An eagle's nest is 6 feet wide, 4 feet deep, and 1 foot thick. The eagle uses the same nest year after year, often adding new material. And many eagle's nests weigh as much as a full ton, sometimes causing the dead tree to collapse under the weight of the nest. Now, the center cradle of the nest is lined with grass, roots, fern, moss, green herbage, and soft green pine branches, making it a soft resting place for the eagle's eggs. When the eagles hatch, they are fed by their parents until they are ready to fly. And this usually takes between 8 and 12 weeks. During that time, the mother eagle demonstrates the process of flight. She hovers near the nest, showing the little eaglets how to fly. But then one day, when mother decides the time is right, she comes to the nest, takes a little eaglet, and pushes it out of the edge of the nest, to the edge of the nest. And the little eaglet looks down. The little eaglet looks at its mother and says, "You wouldn't, would you?" But she would. And she gives that little eaglet a nudge, and it has to fly. But at that point, the mother eagle goes right below the eaglet so that if there is any problem, the eaglet can land on the mother's wings. And then she brings him back to the safety of the nest. But it's interesting to me that an eagle has to learn to fly. And it has to be made to fly. For I doubt that any little eagle, having never experienced flight, would want to step outside the safety of that nest. But the mother eagle throws out the soft lining and makes it absolutely imperative for the little eagle to fly. And you know God does the same thing. He does the same thing with us. And He does it so that we can learn to fly. In Deuteronomy 32:11 we read, "God shielded Israel and cared for him like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spread its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions." Yes, God is like a mother eagle, and God wants to teach us how to fly. And to do that, He sometimes has to take away the soft lining of our nest. He has to allow some problems to come into our lives to drive us to trust Him and to learn to fly. Sometimes God even pushes us out of the nest into a situation where we have to learn to fly. And when we get into trouble, there is only one place to turn, and that is to rest on His wings. But can you imagine the thrill of a baby eagle once he has mastered the art of flying and realizes that he too can fly like his parents? What an amazing and thrilling experience that must be. But you know, that is the amazing, thrilling experience of a new Christian, learning to fly, learning to trust God daily for everything. Yes, even when the soft lining has been taken away. And when we have been pushed out of the nest, God wants us to teach us to fly. Thirdly, an eagle learns to mount. You know, an eagle is very awkward on the ground, on his big feet. And the eagle loves to get in the air and then to catch an air current and to ride on the wind. Often I've seen eagles standing on the edge of a cliff and watch for the lifting air current and then ride the wind to great heights. An eagle is very graceful in flight, and some have been seen as high as 10,000 feet above the earth. We read in Isaiah 40:31, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles." Yes, an eagle rides the wind, and that is the secret of its mounting and soaring. It is interesting to me that in the Old Testament, the word for spirit and the word for wind is the same word. This is true of the Greek word pneuma in the New Testament. And just as an eagle can ride the wind, so a Christian can ride on the Spirit of God. And when we really put our full reliance in the Holy Spirit and allow Him to have His way in our lives, we find ourselves mounting with wings as eagles, riding on the power of the Holy Spirit. But the tragic thing is that many Christians frantically flap their wings rather than mounting on the wind. Now, some birds have to flap their wings to fly. But to see an eagle frantically flapping its wings would be a strange sight. For the eagle only flaps its wings occasionally. Basically, it mounts on the wind. And friend, that is the secret of the Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life on your own strength. And all the frantic flapping in the world will not let you fly like an eagle. An eagle mounts and soars. But you know, you cannot soar on just one wing. You need them both. And so it is in the Christian life that we need faith and works in a beautiful balance. We need believing and obeying in a beautiful balance. We need to love God, but we also need to love our fellow man. We need prayer and praise, but we also need the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. When we have these two wings in balance, the Adventist who knows the Holy Spirit is able to mount like an eagle. 4. An eagle has astute perception. In Job 39:28-29, we read, "The eagle dwells on a cliff. A rocky crag is his stronghold. From there he seeks out his food. His eyes detect it from afar." Now, eagles are known for their keenness of vision. It is estimated that an eagle's vision is about 8 times the vision of a human being. Now, that would mean that an eagle can see the way we do when we look through binoculars with a power of 7 to 10. But not only is the eye very keen, but the eagle's eye has a telescopic face to it. For a muscular action enables the eagle to bring an object into distinct definition, just like a zoom lens does a camera. A bald eagle can spot a dead fish on the shore 1 mile away. And many eagles can see a lizard or a mouse from 1,000 feet in the air. Eagles see things that we cannot see. Again, in the book, The Gift of an Eagle, we read this. One day, the owner of an eagle was watching the eagle as he was cocking his head and following something in the sky. The man could not see anything in the sky. He went in and got his binoculars, and finally he was able to spot the hawk thousands of feet above that the eagle was watching with his naked eye. You know, Christians ought to be able to see things that other people can't see, especially we Seventh Adventists, who have the greatest insight in the Bible of any church in the world. We have foreknowledge that leaders of nations would love to have. That's one of the marks of a true Christian. In Hebrews 11:1, the author makes this comment concerning faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Through the eyes of faith, we can see things as born-again Christians that no one else in the world is able to see. Now, Abraham is a beautiful example of this. It's used in Hebrews 11:8 all the way to 16. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place which he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. In other words, he could see a city no one else could see. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. In other words, Abraham could see a nation that other people could not see. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offering, your offspring, your seed, will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. In other words, Abraham, with eyes of faith, saw things that no one else could see. And that is the privilege of a Christian, especially a Seventh Adventist, who has the proper interpretation of prophetic events to come. 5. When imprisoned, the eagle becomes a dirty bird. Its lifespan is cut short, for flying is needed for the circulation of the eagle. And kept in a cage, the circulation will get less and less, and the eagle's lifespan will be shortened. In the wild, its mate cleans off ticks and lice. In captivity, these often bring death to the eagle. An eagle's beak and talons grow much like our fingernails. In the wild, they're kept trimmed by the activity of the eagle. But in captivity, if the zookeeper does not trim them, the eagle will become crippled and the beak will grow in such a way that the eagle's mouth is always open, eliminating the possibility of cleaning its feathers. Boredom has been observed to be a factor in the life of an eagle in captivity. And this mighty bird can lose its spirit. An eagle was made to fly. And we ought to let it fly. But you know, we Christians, we were made to fly. And sometimes we lose our spirit because of a disappointment, because of some fellow Christian who does us in, who disappoints us, lets us down, does not keep his promise, does not promote us to a position that we think we should have. That's wrong. It imprisons us. And it changes us from that free, mighty spirit soaring up, soaring upon the wind of the Spirit of God. And it changes us into an imprisoned creature. A creature that becomes critical of everybody around him. And often brings a bad reputation to the Church of Jesus Christ. Legalism can also kill the spirit of a Christian. Paul wrote in Galatians 5:1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." He was referring to legalism. Christians were made to fly, not to be imprisoned by a spirit of legalism, of criticism, of depression, of discouragement. No, we are made to fly. 6. An eagle escapes from danger. When danger is present, the eagle flies off to the safety of its wilderness nest. In Deuteronomy 19:4, as God was speaking to Israel on the way he had delivered them from the danger and the bondage of Egypt, he said this, "And I bore you on eagle's wings." In Revelation 12:14, when the dragon, who is Satan, seeks to destroy the woman who brought forth the man-child, which is the Church of Christ, the remnant, it says, "And the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she could be taken care of." Eagles are very devoted parents. They are extremely tender with their offspring. In fact, an eagle stakes out an imaginary territory around its nest that can be anywhere between 10 to 20 square miles, depending upon the availability of food. And if any other eagle or any hawk or any bird that might bring danger to the young eaglets comes into the territory, the male eagle will leave the nest, will literally dive bomb on the other bird, and then will fly a few feet above it and escort it out of his territory, just as an American fighter plane might escort a Russian plane out of our territory. Yes, the eagle is protected by its own natural instinct and protected by its parents. And God says, "I watch over you like a mother eagle." Isn't that beautiful? 7. An eagle knows when the time has come to die. Although no one in modern times has seen a wild bird die in the wilds from natural causes, ancient legends tell us when an eagle comes to the time of death, it goes and stands upon a rock and stares into the sun. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4:6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Oh, dear friends, I've seen an eagle die. Not too long ago, my wonderful spiritual father, Charles Soulman, became very ill. He was taken to the hospital. He called me and others around him. He told us that he will give me all of his library. He told me what to do with his dear wife. He told me that he loved me like a son. And I answered, and I love you like a father, Charles. And then he knew that his time had come. He stood on a rock, the rock of the Word of God, and he stared into the Son of God. And like a mighty eagle, he soared and flew away. He went to sleep in the arms of Jesus. Yes, I know. When the Lord returns, he will awaken him. And then he will really soar all the way up to heaven with me, I hope. Oh, yes, the way of an eagle is too amazing for me. I cannot understand it. But oh, may God give us the grace to learn from the eagle the things that will help us in our Christian lives. Oh God, from your mighty creation we learn so much. Help us to learn not just intellectually, but help us to learn in real life the lessons of the eagle. In Christ's beautiful, powerful name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony. Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. Peace coming soon.